The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside. Well, I'm live here inside the web studio. Ira's live inside the Emden studios. And using your platform, right? Using your platform for, you know, to help facilitate change. And everyone does have a platform these days, right? With social media, but certainly those that we are familiar with, that we engage with routinely, from, you know, Michigan head basketball coach Juwan Howard, who issued a statement yesterday, to former Michigan basketball coach John Beilein, who issued a statement. I'll start with the one from Juwan. He said, as a country, we must do better. As a nation of diverse people, we must stand strong. As a black community, we must rise up and let our voices be heard. However, we must do so peacefully. Looting, vandalism, and destruction only creates more pain. It hurts the cause instead of letting it blossom. Witnessing murders of unarmed black men has been gut-wrenching. Knowing my very own sons are at risk is a fear Janine and I live with every day. That from Michigan basketball coach Juwan Howard. But, of course, John Beilein, who, you know, I'm sure many Michigan fans follow on Twitter. He issued a statement yesterday. He said, quote, I share the outrage felt by so many Americans at the recent killings of unarmed African Americans. Racism and brutality have no place in America, and these recent tragedies reflect longstanding racial injustice. We must all come together now as a nation to demand and embrace change and reject those who want to tear us apart. Let's empower each other as God's children with love, empathy, and understanding as we stop racial injustice everywhere. You know, I think, Ira, because they have such a platform, you know, I think you have motivations that are in concert. I think you have people that are deeply moved personally by what they're seeing going on in the world around them and us, but also think they feel duty bound, and understandably so, because, you know, that's a feeling I have. Like, you can't, in times like these, events of such significance, you know, I just feel like you can't afford to be silent. It would be irresponsible to do so. So when I, you know, saw those statements, you know, I saw some reaction, some of the reactions like, oh, well, everyone has to have a statement. I was like, yeah, well, yeah, I actually think that's true. You know, I don't criticize, you know, I'm not critical of everyone having a statement. I think there's some, you know, I think there's some substance to the meaning of statements from people with the followings like these coaches have. And then, which brings me to who I wanted to talk about in this particular segment. So new Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren. All right, he's had a lot on his plate. You talk about a guy who stepped into it. His first year on the job, woo.
Yeah, we joke about how we want to kind of put 2020 back in the bag and start all over again. Here's a guy who started his brand new job on January 1st, 2020.
Good.
That's crazy.
Grief.
As someone said, the people that that hopped on the SpaceX mission to leave Earth might have had the right idea.
Like, this dude, I mean, he steps into the coronavirus and, you know, global pandemic and national civil unrest. In the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd, and what tone you set, what action you take as the leader of the conference, and the, you know, as the person that sort of shapes how institutions, coaches and ADs across the league, you know, how they react, sort of shaping helping shape and form their reactions. Well, he decided that one of the things that he would do in response to what is going on nationally is Kevin Warren created the Big Ten Conference Anti-Hate and Anti-Racism Coalition. He had an open letter that was released by the Big Ten Conference yesterday where he invited student athletes, coaches, athletic directors, chancellors, presidents, and others to join him. And I'll read you what he had to say. He said, quote, "I've already received powerful notes of support and interest in joining this coalition and look forward to partnering with the existing diversity councils on our various campuses." He went on to say, "It is critical that our student athletes possess their rights to free speech, their rights to peaceful protest, and we will work to empower them in creating meaningful change. We must listen to our young people. Our children and future generations deserve better. We are either part of the problem or part of the solution. The Big Ten Conference will be part of the solution as we actively and constructively combat racism and hate in our country." The juxtaposition of this, Ira, with what we talked about earlier in the show, where, you know, a few years ago, you had different coaches, different campuses, kind of, you know, it was, how do we proceed? How do we act? How do we, you know, what do we say to student athletes who want to demonstrate, who want to be visible in their protest? You know, how do you allow that, but also not have it affect people, you know, in the stands? There was this dilemma that they were faced with. And, you know, you fast forward to the here and now, and you have at the, you know, not just at the coaching level or the athletic administration level on these campuses, but even above that, you know, trying to create ways in which student athletes can use their platforms to express themselves on issues that you clearly saw. It felt like the desire was to kind of, you know, let's kind of put some distance between that and Saturdays or Sundays. Let's leave the world events at the doors of the stadium if we can. This is the escape. This is the respite. And they aren't saying that anymore, Ira. Now, you know, you have the conference commissioner saying, hey, we are going to come up with ways in which we can elevate student athletes and their ability to express themselves on these issues.
I read the statement. It was really strong. I think the Big Ten is under new, really solid leadership. We haven't had to see him make, you know, TV contract and those kind of decisions, which are really what his job is. But to be honest, these are the most important days the Big Ten has had in a long time, right? Jim Delaney did a great job in making the conference money and expanding the footprint, all the things he wanted to do, that some things we weren't all excited about. Kevin Warren inherited a league that was very strong, very vibrant, and wow, look what has happened, as you said, in just the first few months of his tenure as commissioner, and he hasn't shied away from making strong statements. He hasn't shied away from making tough decisions, and I like the leadership that he's showing so far. He's leading by action and not just, you know, leading by words and then kind of punting it to others. And I'm curious to see how, you know, the decisions that he continues to make, whether it's, you know, leading the conference through a pandemic or, you know, leading the conference while we have so much else going on in this country. I'm curious to see what his next steps are. But I was very encouraged by the letter. I thought, you know, you read those words, you know that he's not just having some PR person put it together. He's not having some PR person tell him what to do, that this is very heartfelt and something that is very sincere and something that's very near and dear to him that I'm sure that he's dealt with for a very long time. So he's very experienced in this. He's seen these things for a very long time. And so I like the leadership this conference is right now. It's, I hate to use the phrase that it's a breath of fresh air because we're learning these things during such terrible times. But you're learning, I guess you do learn a lot about your leadership during, you know, trying times. And the leadership of the Big Ten Conference right now seems, at least at the top, to be the, I'm very intrigued and I'm very encouraged by what we have at the top right now. It's different, obviously very different than what it was in the past.
Yeah. He being a black man, obviously, part of his reaction is, is shaped by that experience. He went on to say, in a statement, as a black man, I pray every day for the health and safety of my wife and children, especially during interactions with law enforcement. We continue to see inequality and deep divide regarding how members of the black community are treated compared to the rest of society. And too often the results have been horrific and senseless. Such racism and inequality are pervasive, not just endemic in law enforcement. I will continue to pray, lead, and take action to eliminate racism and hate in our country. So finding a purpose greater than even leading the conference. Now, you know, I talked about setting a tone for the member institutions. You know, he is part of this statement saying he feels like the conference can be part of the tone setting for the country. One of the interesting things, you know, I read an ESPN article on this. You know, he said that one of the ways in which he, you know, one of the ways in which he sort of in his personal routine prepares himself for any possible interaction with law enforcement is that he always drives with his briefcase and his wallet and in his trunk. So when he's pulled over, he can keep his hands on the steering wheel and doesn't have to reach into his glove compartment or back seat. He said, quote, I'm not doing it. I'm not putting myself in that position. You know, I have heard a lot of different ways in which that is processed. You know, I talked about yesterday an interaction where I couldn't roll my window down and being very audible with what I was doing at a time where, you know, you wanted to make sure the action couldn't be misunderstood. You know, his method of doing is, hey, look, my license, my registration, whatever you need is in the trunk of the car. So if you need it, you know, we can get out and I can walk around. I can open up the trunk for you. So, Ira, it doesn't sound that he has a process. Maybe I haven't heard about it being in the truck before, but I'm not shocked that he has a process in place for how to deal, because, you know, it's the conversation that I'm sure he's had with his kids as we have with ours. You know, definitely you want to keep your hands in plain sight for sure. And to be very audible with what you are doing, because you just don't know who you're dealing with. Much as is the case with what is an unbelievably dangerous job for law enforcement. They don't know who they're pulling over, who they're walking up on. And so the danger that they put themselves in every day is not to be underscored, is not to be devalued. It is to be appreciated. At the same time, you know, you have members of this community, of this country, that feel that same sort of uncertainty when they're pulled over by the cops. They don't know who they're dealing with when they walk up on the car, which is unfortunate, because I don't believe that all or even most cops harbor those attitudes. But again, as I've been saying, the true beacons for change, in my opinion, are those cops that don't harbor those attitudes, those cops that can call out and hold to account those within their ranks that do harbor those attitudes. And when those attitudes no longer have cover and no longer have protection, because they're part of the collective, that's when you'll see, I think, the trust really start to, when you see the acknowledgement from cops, like we're seeing now. I mean, the Ann Arbor Police Department with their tweet yesterday, you know, the sheriff up in Flint, you know, involved in a march, you know, from Oklahoma City to L.A. to Boston. I mean, there were photos and videos of cops across the country kneeling in support of protests, which was, you know, an amazing, amazing, you know, juxtaposition with, you know, how kneeling was viewed just a few years ago. Now it's a show of solidarity. It's a show of unity. It's a show of support which is amazing how far we come. But it's through those cops, it's through those officers that I think we can really, really see a difference coming on the other side. Now, again, it's gestures. They're gestures right now. It's talk right now, but it turning into action over time is something that I think we can hope for based on what we're seeing. Because the reason why I say that is because, you know, I think that's different. You know, this kind of reaction, you know, public reaction, and not just one, you know, not just one police department, but multiple police departments across the country. I think that's different, Ira. That to me, you know, you talk about setting a tone. We see some police departments, you know, some of these police departments setting the kind of tone that's going to make a real difference moving forward.
Well, it's definitely different. Think about the reactions that you've seen from those same departments, whether it was 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. The reactions are a lot different. And now, as you said, it's just the initial step. But if the initial step is different, then that's a nice start. Because it's a different start than you've seen in the past when you haven't gotten to the next steps that needed to be taken.
Yeah. Folks, it is 7:25 on a Tuesday morning. We got to get to a break. We'll be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider. Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.